James chapter number 5 for the preaching of the word of God. James chapter 5. Nothing like the Bible. Amen. Let's look down if we could. Continuing. Getting towards the end, really. What a powerful book this has been. We're looking at verse number 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any one of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let the church say amen. Amen. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessings to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Thank you for being a forgiving God. Help us to be forgiving people. Now, Lord, in these next few moments, though they may be brief, may their impact not be brief. And may long after we leave here, we be influenced by the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We've dealt with this epistle of James for months now. And we've themed it around spiritual maturity, titling the entire book, Grow Up. Grow Up. Now, when you got saved, you got born again. Somebody say amen. Not of corruptible seed, but by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. The greatest need for mankind is to be born again into the family of God, washed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, forgiven of their sins, adopted into the family of God, justified as if they were never a sinner or had ever sinned before, sanctified, set apart, and sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. The greatest need for mankind is to be saved. And by the way, the greatest blessing for the Christian is to be saved by the grace of God. But if all God wanted to do was save you, you'd have gone to heaven today, you got saved. He left you here because there's some growing to do. Amen. And by the way, the more growing you do, the more glowing you do. And the more glowing you do, the more going you do. Amen. God wants us growing. And the problem with the average Christian is the only thing on their spiritual resume is salvation. And according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, we can take no credit for that. So there's nothing to brag about if all you are is saved, unless you're just bragging on Jesus. Well, what have you done since you got saved? Working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Taking the wonderful dynamic start that God gave you when you got saved and working forward and moving forward and going on for the Lord. This is what James is dealing with in these five chapters of this powerful book. James is speaking from a perspective that he was a brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grew up in the same home as Jesus. How'd you like to do that? And yet he was a doubter. A skeptic. Jesus thought so much of his doubt that after he had rose again from the dead, he went looking for James. Brother, do you believe me now? Amen. So James is writing from the standpoint of a Christian who had not always grown, who had not always believed, but now he had matured and he had believed, and he's writing to those of us dealing with us in the Christian life. By the way, you ain't gonna find anything better than the Christian life. I said you won't find anything better than the Christian life. There's nothing the world has to offer that's better than serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm talking about walking according, line upon line, precept upon precept, according to the precious word of God. That's what James is dealing with. He's dealing with the Christian and his battles, the Christian and his Bible, the Christian and his belief, the Christian and his behavior, the Christian and his boasting, if you would. And then the Christian, lastly, and his burdens. You're going to be burdened in the Christian life. Somebody say amen. You better be matured so you don't mess up while you're burdened. Many of Christians have tapped out under burdens. Amen. Somebody said, boy, sometimes in the Christian life, I just feel like I'm going to throw in the towel. You ever felt like that? Well, let's not forget that the one that throws in the towel is not the boxer, it's the manager. And let me tell you something, Christian, you're not the manager. You're the boxer. So as long as the manager, Jesus, doesn't throw in the towel, you just keep on fighting. And he don't throw it in till the trumpet sounds, and it hadn't sounded yet because I'm still here. So you can't throw in the towel, you're the boxer. Wait on the manager. Well, I feel like quit looking unto him, the author and the finish of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Amen. There's still work to be done. There's still a God to be served. There's still a world to be reached. Press on for the Lord. These burdens. So how mature Christians deal with burdens? Well, they need some healthy patience. Amen. We talked about that last week. We definitely need some healthy patience. But then he dealt with hasty pledges. Don't get under pressure and get to making ill-advised promises. Amen. Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Many people say, God, I'm going to do this. They didn't mean it. They're just trying to get their backs off the wall. God, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you, I'll praise you, I'll honor you. Let me tell you something. If you won't honor God now, you probably won't honor God later unless you learn some character. Amen. So be careful about getting your back against the wall. Say, God, if you deliver me, God, if you heal me, God, if you give me another job, God, if you bless me, I'll bless you. Listen, you don't do good just because God got you out of jail. You do good because you love God. You're called according to his purpose. Healthy patience. Hasty pledges tonight, if you would. Heartfelt prayer. Mature Christians learn how to pray. I said mature Christians learn how to pray. Pastor, I got burdened and I didn't make it. There may have been something wrong with your prayer life. What a joy it is. What a fellowship it is to talk to God. And yeah, this is one of the most underutilized tools that you and I have. Prayer. Prayer. It would absolutely be insane at 6:55 for you have gone all day long and not eaten. I mean, if you haven't, you're not going to stay awake for this message. You probably already been asleep for most of the service. If you hadn't eaten at 6:55, why? Because it just makes sense that a living body this far into the day would get some food. Come on now. Now wait a minute. Now it just makes sense that a living child of God this far into the day has spoken to his father. Did you pray today? I didn't have time to. Listen to me. God's the one that gave you the time that you didn't have to pray. How could you not pray? He woke up this morning. Who did you talk to? When you got off the bed, when your feet touched the floor, did you thank the one that woke you up? Don't thank the alarm clock. Thank the God that kept that heart pumping all night when you were too deep into sleep to know that it was pumping. Amen. Thank the God that woke you up with a full account of brand new mercies that you depleted yesterday. But that's okay. There's brand new ones for today. Did you tell him thank you? Amen. Prayer. There's something special about prayer. We'll spend this week and next week dealing with this subject. But let me give you a couple of thoughts. We're preaching James, line upon line, precept upon precept, expositionally from the Word of God. So understand as we're approaching James in proper context. The scripture that's not taught with context is taught out of context. And the danger of approaching the Bible with a bend towards our own desire is that we make the verse say what we want it to say. Come on now. And some Christians have never read through the Bible or never studied the Bible as it was written. So they've always dove into the Bible and found a verse that was convenient to their circumstance, applied it to what they needed, and never realized what God said. So James chapter 5, as we approach it, we're approaching it in context. Every scripture has one interpretation, perhaps many applications, but it is absolutely useless to go running away with applications if you've never exegeted interpretation. I'm simply saying you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say, but it'll never help you in what you want it to do unless you studied to find out what God said and he meant it to say. Now what's the interpretation of James chapter 5? Number one, he's dealing with suffering Christians. You know any of them? Are you one? Christians suffer. Is any among you afflicted? Pastor, I'm going through something. Well, guess what? James is talking to you. Affliction will come. My brethren, think it not strange the fiery trial which should take you. Peter said, don't go through trials and be a Christian. Go, what's happening? I don't understand. I don't want to. He said, think it not strange. Yea, all that live godly, Paul said to Timothy, shall suffer what? Persecution. Amen. I mean, if you're living for God, expect to go through affliction. But pastor, it's too much. But pastor, it's too hard. But pastor, it's too difficult. That's why James said, let him pray. If you're afflicted tonight, how much do you pray? Prayer is a subject people often get quiet on because we do too little of it. I want to ask you tonight, if you're afflicted tonight, the Bible said let him pray. Amen. Let her pray. Come on now. Let y'all pray. Let us pray. Amen. Anybody afflicted? Anybody going through a financial problem? Anybody going through a physical problem? Anybody going through a marital problem? Anybody going through an emotional problem? I'm simply saying, do all that you can. Work it out as far as you can. Make sure you maximize your potential. But ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing more powerful than prayer. Understand, suffering Christians will endure praying times and praising triumphs. James says it's going to ebb and flow. There'll be times when you're afflicted and there'll be times, according to the past scripture, when you marry. That word marry means to be cheerful. The other time in scripture it's used in Acts chapter 27 when they were going through that major storm. And the man of God, the only one that was close to God, stood up on that boat and said, be of good cheer. I got to stand before Caesar and y'all riding with me, so we're all going to make it. There stood an angel of God by me, whose I am. And I believe God. He said, y'all ready to give up and give in. I won't tell you. Be of good cheer. Cheer up, fellas. The wind's roaring. The waves are rumbling. The lightning's flashing. The ship is rocking. But be of good cheer. God has got us covered. Amen. When you're suffering, be ready for praying times. But be ready for praising triumphs. Now, if I go around the auditorium, some of you are afflicted and some of you are married. Amen. And here's what he says. While you're afflicted, learn how to pray. And while you're married, learn how to sing. Why do I need to learn both? Because at the Christian life, you're going to be at one or the other. It may be your turn to be married, but eventually your turn to be afflicted is coming. Amen. Come on now. Somebody said, some people don't learn how to pray when they're afflicted because they never learned how to sing when they were married. Amen. Well, Paul and Silas sang songs at midnight. They must have really just learned how to sing that when the tough times came. Wrong. They didn't practice singing at midnight. They practiced singing at daylight. And they kept singing at midnight. Listen to me. If you can't come into church and sing the songs of Zion when things are going well, don't expect a phone booth Superman to start singing it when things go bad. You don't learn God in the night. You learn God in the light. And you don't doubt him in the night. There are going to be some praying times. Yeah, when you're suffering. But there'll be some praising triumphs. Sing psalms. And really, in the interpretation, it just means same. Hey, listen to me. When God's blessing, sing about it. I mean, listen, don't get so busy that you don't take time to sing. This isn't talking about your skill in singing. It's talking about your gratitude in singing. Everybody should sing. Whether you can or not, you need to sing. Singing is the manifestation of the goodness of God. Amen. Singing is because God has touched us in the soul where it really matters. Singing is because we've experienced the grace of God. And by the way, we've embraced the colloquialism in our world and as human beings that say, oh, she sings like an angel. He sings. The Bible never tells us about angels singing. They say a lot of things, but an angel never said anything. When you get to heaven and the song of the redeemed is sung, it's not sung by angels. They've never been redeemed. But when you've been snatched out of hell, redeemed from sin, indwelt with the Holy Ghost of God, washed in the shed blood of God, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, you've been already invited into the house of God called heaven. The angel can't say, but God puts a song in your mouth. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing. Too many Christians got out of a blessing and never sang. And so, when they get under a burden, they don't know how to pray. Because prayer, when burdened, is the only time they communicate with God. Let the God you pray to be the same God you sang to. Suffering Christians. Let me give you one more and we'll close. It's my position that the context of James 5 is not only talking about suffering Christians, but in my opinion, it's talking about sinful chastisement. Is any sick among you? Now, this is a verse that's used, and I'm not going to even tell you that using this verse by way of application is wrong. But I believe that the interpretation of this verse, if anyone's sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, anoint him with oil and pray for him and he shall be healed. My opinion is in context, you read the next couple of verses, that this sick person is sick because of sin. And the reason why he is calling for the elders of the church to pray for him is because he knows why he's sick. And the reason why he gets healed of his sickness is because he gets forgiven of his sin. And his sickness that's a result of his sin is healed when his sin is confessed. And the reason why many good people who have used this verse, and by the way, I don't think you're wrong to ask for the elders of the church to come and know and all. We do need to understand the context of this time was in the apostolic age of healing and that those sign gifts have ceased. And they've ceased because their need has ceased. And they've ceased because their purpose has ceased. And there is no need to get a sign to confirm the scripture because we have the written scripture. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is done in part shall be done away. What is that which is perfect? It's certainly not a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always been perfect. It's a reference to the completion of the canon of scripture and the sign gifts of tongues and healing and a prophecy. And the apostolic gifts were given to men because they were preaching to unbelieving Jews who heard the word and didn't believe it was true. They gave the word, they did a sign, and the sign confirmed that the word was true. I don't have that quandary. If I give the word and you want to know if it's true, don't look up here for me to slap you with a boom shakalaka-laka. Look down in the Bible. It's right there. First Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is dealing with one of the ordinances of the church, which is the Lord's table. And he says in reference to the Lord's table, many of you are sick and weak. And you're sick and weak because you're sinful. And you mess with the Lord's table unworthily. And I really believe, I've seen good people call for the elders of the church that were anointed with oil. And they didn't get healed. And they look at this verse and say, I thought I was going to be healed. Yeah, but maybe you've missed the context. Maybe this guy is calling for the elders of the church because he's the one that knows why he got sick. And he needs them to come. And he needs to confess because he knows what he did. And by the way, the healing doesn't always have to be physical. You say he shall be healed. Well, he confessed his sin and he's still sick. Yeah, but if he confessed his sin to God, he's healed because there's a greater healing than a physical one. And that's, somebody help me preach. That's a spiritual one. So here's the process and then we'll close. The process is, first of all, that there is individual adversity. Someone's sick. The initiated appeal is that the individual sick must call for the elders. Amen. I mean, all these guys that's initiating, oiling you. I'm talking about all these guys on television. You didn't call for them, they're calling for you.
Come on.
Huh? They're all up on the screen and you wake up in the middle of the night, 2 a.m, you can't sleep, so you turn television on.
Yes.
And this guy's on here telling you, get up close to the screen. You can't get all the way to the studio, he's too far away, you can't afford a plane ticket, but you put your finger on that screen. And put his finger on that screen. He's going to heal you because God told him to heal you. James chapter 5 said he shouldn't be calling for you. You should be calling for him.
Right.
The initiation should be made by the sick. Yeah, because the sick knows he sinned. Amen. By the way, I pray for people to heal, get healed. And some of them I pray, Lord, let your will be done. Because I wasn't sure that my prayer was going to line up with their performance. Preach, Pastor. I'm trying to preach the Bible.
Amen.
I'm not trying to preach what's convenient. God didn't give you the Bible to just get your healing out of here. Go get your blessing. No, don't get your blessing if you're in sin.
Amen.
Some of these gospel songs, I think they were hatched in hell.
Well,
they're doctrinally heresy. Amen. I mean, emotionally they sound good and rhythmically they feel good. But let me tell you something. When the emotions die down and the beat is cut off, you're going to need some substance that bears witness with your witness that it's the word of God. Amen.
Right.
So the initiation must be made by the sick. Amen. The individual adversity, the initiated appeal, the important action. Let them pray over him. Pray. When the elders get there, pray. He didn't say nothing about slap them. He said pray. And then anoint them. And the word really anointing really has to do with just the physical massaging. There's nothing spiritual about the actual anointing. Matter of fact, the oil here may have been more medicinal than it even was miraculous. It was symbolic. Then what does the Bible say? The Bible says that this individual adversity, this initiated appeal, this important action, this indicated anointing. And then he said there must be an infinite authority. Anointing him with oil, how? In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. The authority upon which healing takes place is the name of the Lord. Now, I'll take some more time because we got a lot to do tonight. But I just want to tell you that verse number 15 says, the prayer of the faith shall save the sick and the Lord's going to do it. It never said the healer did nothing. I said it never said the healer did anything, if you want to receive it grammatically correctly. It never said the healer did anything. Anybody, you quote your pastor on it. Anybody that tells you he can heal you is a liar. Well, I've been healed by somebody. No. I'm telling you that God healed you not because of that healer. God healed you in spite of that healer. And there's some people got slapped upside the head and went saying that man healed them. If they got healed, God healed them. Not because of that man, in spite of that man. And thank God that God hadn't punished some ignorant and naive Christians for some lying and conniving preacher. I think that's pretty ugly. I think it's pretty ugly to claim powers you don't have. The prayer of the faith. The prayer saves them. God's the one that heals them. And it's the prayer of faith. We'll talk about that next week. Some people got, you have Jesus praying over you, but you don't have faith. You're in bad shape. James is trying to tell us about prayer. Be careful. Be careful when you dive into scripture and try to get what you want. Boy, I'm just living like I want to live and I'm acting how I want to act. And I've been running the streets and living like the devil and practicing my sin at my will's desire. But James 5 said, if I call for them, they're elders. They bring me some Crisco. Y'all, everybody know you got some left over. Pour it on my head and give me my healing while I keep my sin. Amen. Amen. You better be careful. When the elders show up, and by the way, they need to be holy men. Holy men. Holy preachers. Holy leaders of the church who are walking with God. Some people, the elders with a title, are not even elders. That's a whole nother message. They need to be holy men that are in touch with God, who are going to pray in faith. Amen. But here's what I'm telling you. If you ever get sick and you burden for the elders of the church to come pray over you, before you ask them to come pray, make a decision, you can get your sin right first. Otherwise, leave them elders alone. They got better things to do than to ask God to overlook your rebellion and heal you at your request. Preach, Pastor. Because if you got it because of sin, you ain't going to get rid of it till you get your sin right. Let the church say amen. Father, thank you for prayer. And we see a lot of folks in our churches that are sick, and some of them are not sick because of sin. But some are. And God, help us never to go diving into the Bible and telling people that they didn't get healed because they didn't believe enough and somebody else got healed because they believed more. God, help us not to mess with God's stuff. Help us just to be faithful, mature enough to know that the emphasis in this passage is not oil, not healing, but prayer. And thank you that we have access. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.